one of the. This is Jimmy Dolan's show, by the way. Coming back again live.
As if they didn't know.
As if they didn't know, right?
Click on six Jimmy Dolan links to get here.
That's right. No, we have. It is interesting. Today is Sunday, the what? 18th of December.
Yeah!
And.
5 shopping days till Christmas.
No, you've got 6, I think.
Okay, 6.
Including Saturday, which is when I'm going to go shopping. Or else, actually, I'm thinking about going the day after Christmas. That way everybody will remember the present, you know, and they get it in the middle of January. So what was I talking about? Here, I've seen your moment here, folks, in a second.
You were going to say, we have here in the studio,
right? Curtis, our worthwhile attorney.
It is I.
Yes, and engineer Eric, without whom the show would be impossible. Say hello.
Still here. Mixing the old show.
That's right. Still mixing. Oh, that's right. That's right. We might get 2 shows for the price of 1 here.
Real quick.
Well, one thing I noticed on our little web stat, that people are dinging away on us. You know, they come in for a nanosecond to see if there's a new show up.
Right.
And we do want to say thank you again for all the people from God knows all the world. Now we got Williston, North Carolina. We got Williston, comma, North Carolina. Virginia, of course. We've got a couple overseas and so forth. I want to thank you all, friend. Keep up the good work. Keep pinging away. It's like a submarine, you know, when you ping to see if there's anybody out there. Ping. Right.
Well, the funny thing is, because I only see the web stats from people that actually come to our site, but I screwed up the XML file last time.
Right.
And we got a few emails from people going, "What's the deal? Yeah. It won't download."
No,
and
that was like, so funny. The people on iTunes.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's right. Now we'll try and get that right this time. Yeah. That was so funny, though. I mean, it was that show hadn't been on iTunes for 30, 40 minutes before we're getting emails saying, "It don't work." Hello.
Why don't you fix your broken computer machine?
Yeah, hey, buddy. We appreciate. Obviously, people are zinging in there pretty quick. We'd like to have fun. Anyway, today we're going to talk about a little bit about. We want to talk first of all about something semi-local here in Florida. The Tequesta lady, who's being booted out of her house for not mowing her lawn, is
the
way it goes.
Tequesta in Tequesta.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that, and then a little New Orleans update. Which we
important know, market information.
I mean, market information, and then maybe if we have time, a little bit more about Iraq, the Patriot Act, and spying, and so forth. Yeah, and the vote. That's right. The big vote. The purple finger, whatever. It's interesting. As a lead-in here, not a lead-in, but to wait around for the end of this show, I'm looking at today, Saturday's and Sunday's newspaper, and there's zero about the vote. Zero. Nothing. It's like it didn't happen. So we'll talk about that. Huh. Anyway, let me start off, first of all, here, Jimmy Doan Show. And by the way, if you want to email us, it's jimmy@jimmydoan.com. There is a story in today's paper which is written by the Associated Press, so I don't know how – I'm sure the story is semi-true, but as they quote in the article, the two sides of every story, this is a lady in Tequesta, which is down near Jupiter. It's an upscale-ish type area down near Stuart, Florida, on the coast there, and she is being booted out by the county, city, or whoever it is, the locals down there, for code violation. She has amassed $1.8 million – in code violations because the headline is she didn't mow her lawn. Now, you know, it's a little worse than that. I mean, the fact is that she's 83 years old and they had a picture of her. She looks like some South Carolina cotton picker lady. I mean, it's what she looks like from the picture. But she is, because of the housing boom here in Florida, the coast and Stuart and Tequesta area, her ramshackle house, whatever it is, worth $1 million. I mean, this is the way the housing boom.
Now, is it a nice house or just on a nice?
Again, we are having this show today. Jimmy is talking from a position of ignorance on this. Okay, I've read the story, but I think it brings out some things anyway. Even though we don't know, but about 10% of what's going on, that does not stop me from having an opinion. No problem. We all decisions in life are made without all of the available facts, as you well know. Yeah. And this is one that we have no available facts. So I'm gonna go ahead and make a decision, make a chit chat about it.
Educated guess. Well, yeah, I think we can all agree here, anyway, all of us here at the studio, that if someone has amassed $1.8 million in code violations, That seems excessive.
Well, for a couple of reasons. One is, and apparently this is going on for a number of years, she apparently is an abrasive person. She, even though she's 83 years old, she's still 10 years younger than my mother-in-law, and but apparently she still hoofs it on down to the county commission meetings and rails at them.
She pisses
them off on a regular basis, apparently, according to the stories, as near as I understand it.
So she moons people as they go by.
With her 83-year-old ass there, you know, and that's, people look like, ooh, don't need to see that. And apparently...
That's here right. She goes.
That's right. So, you know, so the and
well, you know, what,
it's people with their ass.
Well, so wrinkled.
Wrinkled ass.
What one wonders is why they didn't evict her for some sort of nuisance purpose. That is to say,
again,
a civil action, you know.
What happened is apparently her lawn, apparently it's about a half acre, which is down there, of course, in that area is a chunk of land. That's, you know, pretty good size. Point is, she also has property. She's not poor.
She leaves trash around.
She does leave trash, and the grass doesn't get mowed. Now, some of her neighbors have come over, apparently, and from time to time trimmed the lawn down or whatever it is. But, you know, hacked out a car, right? That's right. That's right. You know, taking the cinder blocks from out underneath so it sinks down and it doesn't show.
To rip off Jeff Foxworthy, if you mow your lawn and you find a car...
You might be redneck.
That's right. Well, apparently they don't cotton to rednecks in Tequesta. So anyway, the point is that she apparently... This headline has to do with the mowing of the lawns. Apparently, there's nothing in there about the house, but they said because the grass is high, it harbors, as you would expect any prosecutor, it's always the worst case condition, it harbors vermin and snakes. Well,
Godzilla.
Yeah, right.
Deadly.
That's right. Hey,
Bigfoot. You want to find Bigfoot?
Yeah, mow the lawn. That's right. That's right. Not afraid.
What she ought to claim is that it harbors some sort of rare indigenous bug
that can't take
her property.
And the grass has to be there. It's an endangered species. Or it's a wetland.
Purposes. Right.
Or it's a wet, you know, go out there and pee on it.
Sucker every day.
That's right.
It probably is a wetland.
Yeah, could be. No, the deal is, though, as you say, how do you amass $1.8 million, number one?
Inconceivable.
And so you have to ask yourself about has to do with private property. So apparently she's not in a gated community where there are those kinds of rules. This is probably a county rule of some kind, my guess. We have the same thing.
We have city ordinances all over the place.
Right.
Florida,
same thing here in Gainesville.
Well, they have them down. I was living in Lake County in a place where there's lakes everywhere. Every 20 feet, there's a lake. And they had ordinances where you couldn't keep your boat in your driveway.
Right.
Well, so what you got to park your boat in your backyard something?
That's exactly what. They're in a gated community. Was that a county ordinance?
I don't know if it was county or city.
Okay, but it was not a private type gated community.
No, it was definitely a municipal.
Because in gated communities, it is quite often that you're not allowed to park a truck or for instance.
You know, I don't mind if it's a contract with my neighbors.
Right.
I don't mind if it's a covenant in the neighborhood.
Right.
That I can't keep, that I got to keep my house this way or paint it this way or that way or whatever. That seems to be like a relatively.
No, when you move in, you get the condo docs or the association docs and you sign.
Read
if you
through
buy,
there.
That's right.
You know it going in.
You know it going in. That's right. But this kind of thing, and again.
She's been grandfathered in for more, and she's 85. I mean, how much longer is she going to last?
Well, we just read about the lady here who just set the new Guinness records for 116, so she could be another 20 years easy. Yeah, sure, in this day and age. Yeah, going strong. If she's hoofing it down to the county commission meetings and railing again. Anyway, apparently they're pissed off at him. And what I also find interesting is when they interviewed, they went down there, Associated Press, whatever, interviewed a bunch of people around there, neighborhood people, and nobody would give their full name. They, you know, Betty, who was jogging by, said, "Don't use my name," and, you know... And the comments were stuff like, "Well, there's two sides to every story," and then that's it. And there's no comment. Not she's guilty. Not she's not guilty. Not just there's two sides to every story.
Yeah, that's they want her gone. They don't mind if the city's using the powers to get her out of there. So they don't have to see her saggy butt hanging out the window or whatever it is.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, but...
What was it? It's called the double barrel when you do that with a woman, right? It's not the red eye, it's the double barrel.
The preceding program was intended for mature audiences.
No, I'm sorry. That's what you didn't know that. No, I'm sorry. That's, anyway. So anyway, the point is that no. The deal is you have to ask yourself about property rights and what. But 1.8 million. So anyway,
either that or they're afraid the code violators are going to come after them next.
That could be the other interesting part that I see about this. Again, not knowing the facts or whatever, but they're going to evict her apparently. But what she did was she went down and of course it's her homestead. Now here in Florida, technically, they're trying to get around it. But if it's your homestead, they can't foreclose on you. They can't boot you out. They can't do whatever. But they can certainly stick a lien on your house forever. And of course, the liens can pile up so that you can't sell the house. I mean, if the house ostensibly is worth $1 million. They got $1.8 million in
liens,
on the property now. So, you know, she ain't going to sell it. Nobody's going to buy it. And at least not until the housing boom, you know, keeps going up or whatever.
Well, and again, if she leaves another 10 years, then the interest on those liens go to $5 million.
Well, that's the other thing. As you know, that's the other thing. Right, exactly.
Well, it has to have been how they got to where they are.
Well, I'm sure it's
fines and doubles.
Well, and not only that, and a lot
double,
of them.
Triple penalties and double, super
exactly,
double penalties.
Yeah,
and
super triple.
Triple double penalties.
Double top secret probationary penalties.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't tell you about that one, but that's it. Yeah, it's in, you know, between pages one and two, of course, as you know, they're on opposite sides. And in between in pages one and two, there's this covenant. It says
penalty.
It's on the edge. That's right. It's on the edge and very tiny. Wait, for a person. This is the person who writes the Bible on the head of a pin, and they on the edge of the paper they wrote this particular.
Well, that's notice.
That's notice, right? You know, in 1 point type,
right?
You know, it's like they said in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Notice has been at your local Galactic Central unit,
right up here, Alpha Centauri. What, you didn't know? Right.
You could have gone there.
Yeah, it's been up. It's up been on that planet here for like four light years away. If it could have made it and back, easy enough. No, that's so. Anyway, apparently she's been noticed a lot, and she's fought it and everything. The question, of course, and one of her neighbors has taken it upon himself to be the constant gardener or something. You know, it's come over once in a while, hacked down and got it more or less under control.
Ooh,
from time. Yeah, exactly.
Chopped his way to her house.
That's right. Found this. And the
it's just amazing. You know,
well,
this is the height of victimless crimes. You know, I mean, they're going to take her property, her home.
Kick her in the street. At this point, of course, in debt, not only penniless, but in debt.
Right.
And again, I know that there are two sides to the story, but you have to ask yourself, as you just did, how can you possibly amass $1.8 million on a private home? You know, it's understand if you're the Bayer Aspirin Company and you put out Vioxx, for instance, if you're, you know, Merck. You might have amassed $1.8 million or $1.8 billion.
Well, yeah, you know, if you're a toxic waste company and you're just chugging it into the bay,
right. If you're Mr. Burns, for instance,
right.
You know, and you're dumping the green glowing liquid into the local, that's one thing. But this is, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mow my lawn.
Yeah, I mean, every imaginable violation that you could think of, every $25 civil ordinance violations you can imagine.
Well, you say 25.
Times
it, of course, what happens as I've just read recently here with our local ordinances and some of the stuff, they always are revising the penalties, and they are there's nothing you can do around here. I mean, if your leash is too long on your dog, it's $100. And if you snatch the ticket from the guy giving you the ticket, that's another 100, and you go to court for that one. And of course, by the third warning, as you know, it goes 100, and then the second warning is 200, and the third one, you know, she's been doing this for years.
Yeah,
she's probably the 13th warning, and there's $1,000 a minute violation.
Right,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
That's why the I mean, that's why the, you know, especially accruing at 3 o'clock in the morning when you can't even go down there and. There you go. Exactly.
Yeah.
Ka-ching. So
you'll come again.
Well, Tequesta, when you think about it, Tequesta is not that big a place, and $1.8 million has got to be a goodly chunk of their budget when you think about it for a second. That's probably why they want the money.
This is all because the prosecutor is trying to drive her out
and has got some people on his side. You think about it for a second.
Sure,
what would it cost if you're going to kick somebody out? What would it cost to go to descend on her, for instance, with an army of mowers and clean the place up? It wouldn't cost you $1,000. To clean them, to make it look pristine, gorgeous. It would cost you $1,000.
Yeah, but she could prevent him from doing that, you know.
She ain't going to prevent him from kicking her ass out.
Well, I mean,
and taking $1.8 million.
Well, she may not be able to prevent that. I mean, you know, the cops show up at the door. They can grab her and cuff her and stuff her, you know, but...
And stuff her. Yeah. Okay, good. I love that.
But I mean, if people show up with lawnmowers, I mean, she could blast them off the property, you know? I mean, she may not be legally able to. I mean, but in some ways...
That's a lethal weapon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but she could certainly go out there naked or something. You know, I mean, no, she could.
That'd be enough.
That would be enough for me.
That's like, her naked is like.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's like kryptonite to the lawnmower people. Whoa, whoa, repelled. That's kryptonite.
Yeah. So I don't see them cleaning up or thing. It just seems like there should be some top limit to the city ordinance. Violate the code violation, then
still, even no matter what, I mean, the top limit's certainly going to be in the thousands and thousands of dollars. It's going to be way more than what it would take to fix it, so to speak. But like you, as you say,
right.
this is procedure gone amok. It seems to me, at least with my 10%,
it's overlapping agencies, yeah. Violations,
and you can bet that there are some people that have, she's pissed off, probably in her neighbors.
Oh, she's pissed off everybody.
Yeah,
and, you know, I mean, there's no question she's pissed off everybody. The question is, does she have a constitutional right to piss off everybody and still keep her home, you know? And
yeah,
I think,
well, here in Florida, again, that's, of course, they want to change that law. As you know, this is one of the states where it doesn't matter how much your homestead is worth, they can't take it from you in foreclosure proceedings.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see
and
how
that's
they
why
that.
A lot of the multimillionaires, suddenly when they decide they're going to go bankrupt, they come down to Florida and buy their, you know, $5 million home and set up and then they go bankrupt. And it's fine, you know, have everything else. That's right.
But then they got to still pay the taxes, the property taxes on the $5 million home.
Doesn't matter. You can't.
They can't get kicked out.
To be honest with you, I think you can. Let me just think for a second. I think you can get kicked out for that after 3 years. I think if
but
you
taxes,
sell,
they can do anything.
Taxes, they can pretty much do anything.
Right, so this woman's been paying her taxes, her property taxes, I guess.
More than likely, you know, somebody would. Well, let me put it this way. Somebody's been paying the taxes.
Right.
And you can bet on that. Well, at any rate, we pretty much beat that to death.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me move on here to New Orleans. Okay. You had a few things on that.
Yeah. Interestingly, the national news is highlighting the radical market fluctuations in New Orleans.
I think the key word there is market.
Market.
As libertarians, we love the market.
We love right. that, and it's a beautiful thing. But what's interesting is that everybody's trying to understand and control the process. It's like, it looks like everybody's trying to...
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
That's interesting. They don't recognize that any effort to control that process affects the process.
Yes. And the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Absolutely.
Exactly right.
You know, I mean, as soon as they pass a regulation which says this is the maximum you can charge for labor, all of a sudden there's bubbles all over the place, distortions in the market and whatever else. But that hasn't happened yet. And what's happening now, though, is massive price fluctuations. For example, the housing market, what housing is left there is very valuable now.
Right.
And since a lot of that housing...
That's price gouging, man.
That's price gouging.
Yeah, man.
Well, that's what they were saying. Right. I mean, literally, you know, they're freaking out. They don't understand. But then the labor market is booming. So you make a lot more as well. So you can afford the housing if you have a job there.
Right.
So what's happening is people who without jobs are getting evicted, basically.
For the people that do, right.
And of course, the landlords are saying, hey, we lost half of our houses in the floods.
And I still got to make those payments.
Still got to pay.
So what I got left, I've got to use to make those payments on the stuff that's
destroyed.
Got to
double
or whatever,
your rates on the stuff you got left.
Exactly.
And some people are willing to pay.
Right.
The ones who are going down there fixing the place or still working or whatever.
Yeah, and they're making $50 an hour, or they were making 10 or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So everything is going in this radical, I mean, literally doubling, tripling of former
right.
prices.
Right.
And everybody's alarmed about it.
Why?
Well, exactly. And I mean, that's our point as libertarians, is just close your eyes, let it be.
It will work itself out.
It will absolutely take care of itself.
Give it time, and it'll work.
Adam Smith's invisible hand.
Exactly. It'll all work out. Well, yeah, exactly. And it is, you're right. That's the thing that they often don't do is to look, as you just did, past the quote gouging part and realize that here's a landlord who, if he didn't do it, he's going to lose all the property anyway because he can't make the payments on the stuff that's been destroyed or whatever. Let's face it. If the amount of available housing drops in half, law of supply and demand dictates rules, law, the law of, this is not the supposition of supply and demand. This is not the guess of supply and demand. This is the law of supply and demand says that the available, what's left has to rise in price. Yeah, duh, as Homer would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Duh, everyone knows that, Marge.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone knows that. Right?
So it'll be interesting to see if anybody tries to get control of this in the government from the standpoint of passing wage and price controls. I mean, I can see that coming, is what I'm saying.
Of course you can.
Wage and price control in for state and city.
Well, of course, obviously, what is well known, what has been well documented on so many occasions is that once you control one thing, you have to end up controlling everything else. And that's socialism. I mean, because as soon as you control one thing, people say, well, I'm not going to go there. And they go to the next thing. And then that goes, like you say, haywire. Then the people complain. They control that and they control and on and on and on. And of course, when you say wage and price, it's interesting. A lot of people don't think of them as separate. They're not. Wage is simply a price for labor.
Right.
So it's price and price controls is what they are.
Yeah. Or just price controls.
Just price. Well, yes, I was going to go there. Yeah.
Okay. So
to sum up, New Orleans should be left alone, operate under the principles of the free market. And
of course, it's not. And one of the reasons we've got a little minor problem is that the Senate, I think it was the Senate, and they're going to approve it. I don't know if you know this, but the people down in New Orleans, the governor and the senator, what's her name, and the Landrieu and what's his name, Nath or whatever is the mayor, all requested money from us in Florida here, the taxpayers of because we only had our hurricanes and they had their hurricane, whatever. But they requested $32 billion from the Treasury, from the United States Treasury. Apparently, they're going to get $29 billion for hurricane relief. And part of that, they have determined, they're going to build 17-foot levees that are now going to be reinforced. They didn't say that they would withstand a Category 5, but they said they're going to be taller.
They're going to be big.
They're going to be big.
I got it right here. For Category 5 safety, levees are a piece of a $32 billion pie. Yeah, so they're a piece of it.
Yeah, but I think that they figured that they can put the levees back together again. They're not going to make it in time for next year. Of course, that's what I love. Is for only about $3 billion of that is, I think, for the levies. I think.
It's going down next year again. No.
Yeah, no, that'd be great fun because what would be cool would be to have the levies like half built, you know, and then blow them all, and then God come along and blow them all down again.
Now I want to go back to New Orleans. I want to go to New Orleans.
Think about it for a second. When you want to go to New Orleans, this is February, you will have your party in February. Then they can blow
up. Well, I've actually heard people call for let's not do Mardi Gras.
They're going to do it.
I know they're going to do it because it's a cash cow for them. I mean, it's absolutely.
They're going to do Mardi Gras. Now, the question, of course, will be what are the room rates going to look like? We just talked about it.
Yeah.
Because if they
ran out those FEMA bills.
Well, that may be, but no, but the partygoers.
Yeah,
so think about it. Now you gotta think about it. There's a bunch of the workers down there paying $200-$300 a day because they're getting paid to fix the place and suddenly the Mardi Gras people want to come in and, you know, the market's going to say how many
it's going to be double.
It's going to be double what it was last year. You can bet on that.
Yeah, at least double.
At least double. And again, the market will figure it out. It'll be.
Yeah.
It will be fascinating to see if the people that run the Mardi Gras, so to speak, and they're, of course, they're all incest is best, whatever it is, in New Orleans, and to see if, well, I mean, the powers that be and the grand.
Oh, not physically. Okay.
No, okay. Of course not. I know, of course not. No, what do they call the brand? The Grand Poobah guy, the Klan guy or something, or.
The Grand Wizard, whatever.
Well, that's KKK, but yeah, I think it's all the same.
You mean the Mardi? No, you mean the King of Mardi Gras?
Yeah. Well, yeah, something. I don't know.
The Grand Wizard.
I don't know. Something. Yeah. Whatever.
Which Mardi Gras did you go to?
No, well, this is the bleach white Mardi Gras. Yeah.
Everybody was in costume.
Yeah, right. Hey. And yeah. Well, there's two things to consider. One of the things is that right up this road, the original Mardi Gras, of course, was not in New Orleans. It was up in from Alabama someplace, I think. I forget what it was. I went through there, not Mobile, but not Birmingham, but I forget someplace. But they have a big year, more family-oriented. I'll remember that for the next show, and maybe somebody can email me.
Well, there's Carnival in Brazil.
No, I'm talking about the original Mardi Gras. Actually, New Orleans took it over from another city that is about 100 miles north of there. Major city, I believe,
Baton
in Alabama.
Baton Rouge?
No, 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 not Baton Rouge. I think it's in Alabama. Mm. And they still have it. I think it's in Auburn, as a matter of fact. It might be. Mm. I mean, I forget. I'm going to go look at a map here. And I went through there last summer, and for some reason I'm having, again, another senior moment here.
Well, it was a great party.
It was a great party. That's right. Anyway, they'll certainly have that one for
sure. Well, they need to do it. I can't believe people would suggest that they not do it. It brings in $1.2 billion.
They can suggest all they want. It's going to happen, A. And yeah. B, what will be fascinating, though, is to see if the city or the county or whoever it is involved in this thing decree, for instance, that all workers must move out for a week or two, or that room rates can't exceed XYZ. Right. As you well know, if you go into any hotel in America, almost there's always a thing on the back of the door that tells what the maximum room rate is. And as you well know, that maximum room rate is usually 2 to 3 times what you are paying, unless it happens to be during Mardi Gras or some. The reason they set those maximum rates is for those festivals. During when the festival is not on, I mean, if it happens to be the Alachua County Care Cow and Poop Festival, it's something less than the maximum room rate. But on a homecoming, you can bet that the rates go up to the maximum.
Right.
So in New Orleans, I'm sure that the maximum room rate's probably $200-$300 or something like that.
Price gouging.
But they're allowed to do it. And normally when you go to New Orleans, not during Mardi Gras, it might be, you know, 80, 90, 100, who knows what. But this year, I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see the room rates want to go above the stated maximum.
Yeah. And then they should just open it up wide open.
No, that's right.
I'm wide open, boy. Make the pass.
That's it. So they will have it, and of course the money's going to flow in there like water, and they'll waste it like crazy because it's the government, and it'll be interesting to see.
It'll flow in there like beer, probably.
They're going to carpet bomb the place with dollar bills. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah, well, everybody ought to.
Of course,
be
we get arrested. We get arrested in this town for doing that.
Right.
It is a felony offense to throw $1 out of the window of a high story building here in Letcher.
And you figured this out how?
by doing it.
It was all that was a movie script.
Right.
This potential.
No, when three
moving right along
police show up.
Moving along to the speaking of armed police. Yeah.
We know you're in there.
Yeah, that's right. We know you're in there.
Don't.
That's right. We know you're in there. So that's it. That's super. Well, it'll also, to segue into something, it'll be interesting to see when you have that many people down there what they're going to do about the Patriot Act and about investigating people. Because this is, think about it. Everybody's dressed up in costume. There's a billion people there. I mean, you talk about a place where you could have trouble.
Yeah.
I would call it River City, but it's
as
trouble.
Iraqi soldiers.
That's right.
This is not an atomic bomb for real.
That's right. But, you know, a couple of things that are concerned. The Patriot Act, fortunately, I think it's fortunate. A lot of people are not too happy about this, but it's going to, a lot of it is going to expire here in about 2 weeks. One thing that they should do very often, and they don't, is they pass a lot of laws. They do occasionally pass laws with sunset provisions in them. That is to say, this law is in effect for 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is, and at that point it will expire. Now, sometimes that's very good news, and this is one of those times, I think. However,
I agree, although I haven't read the act. I should have derelict in my duties here.
Yeah, derelict in you. Well, of course, it's quite lengthy.
It's 90 pages or something. I downloaded it. I just didn't finish it.
Well, there apparently are 25. There are some of the provisions that are not going to expire, and then some that are. And, of course, this ties in with the latest news that Bush, you know, has personally been spying on everybody here and secretly peepholes in the John or whatever it is and spying on people too. That news story is something that's, you know, who knows. But the point is that there are 25 provisions there, thus and so. But one of the provisions that's expiring, interestingly enough, is the cooperation provision that said that the FBI, the CIA, NSA and all these people have to share their information. And apparently that particular provision is one of them that's going to expire. And once again, we'll be back to the point where he said, she said, no, yes, we knew about it. We weren't allowed to tell the CIA, you know, brick wall in between. And, yep, we knew all about this guy. He had the bomb. He's getting on the airplane, but we weren't allowed to tell the people. I've always said that the Patriot Act is misnamed.
Whenever you see an act named like that, it just...
Right. It's the Anti-Patriot Act in some respects because we get to spy on everybody and look at your books in the library and check out what videos you rent and everything else, and set up, you know, IR detectors across the, so we see where you are in your house as you walk around, and that's, you know, we can that way we can put a 50 cal armor piercing shell through it and make sure it hits you if we suspect that you're not a good person.
Right. Well, but if you're not doing anything wrong,
yeah, that's right. Why should
you
care?
To hide.
That's right. That's right.
I swear to God, yeah, it's getting out of control with that stuff. And the Patriot Act, I'm going to read. I'll read it and I'll get back to everybody. But I'm pretty sure that as Jimmy says, it is overkill because there's nothing new. It doesn't make any sense. And, of course, I know what probably happened. I'm just going to guess totally off the cuff here. Bush probably did that spying, and then they decided, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and make an act which makes this a little bit easier.
Well, the other thing is, I don't know for sure, but I did hear, because we do listen to some other venues, that there's a book coming out by one of the ostensible, I will say not a Bush hater, but somebody who's no friend of Bush's. And apparently this book is supposed to be out. I'll find out what the title is. It's supposed to be out for the Christmas. It's supposed to be a big Christmas gift. It's supposed to come out here in a couple days. And it apparently one of the chapters details this very secret, we didn't tell anybody spying. And I'm trying to think, well, wait a minute. If this book went to the publisher like in July, and there's a chapter on something that nobody knew about until last week. How did this guy know about it? I mean, what?
Somebody knew about it.
That's right.
Well, you got to figure the insiders knew it. I mean, this is nothing new.
Except that Arlen Specter, you know, and a lot of people on the oversight committee, they want to set up, of course, another oversight committee. But on the one that's supposed to do all this stuff, even Nancy Pelosi said, well, they hinted that something like this was going on, but we didn't bother to, you know, check it out. They said it wasn't serious, so we didn't. And I'm thinking, well, what's your job? You know, you're getting paid $165,000 a year to what? You know, I mean, why didn't you, you know, why did you raise your hand there and say, excuse me, Mr. Bush, I got a question here. You know, why didn't you do that? No. Yeah, so it wasn't my fault for not raising my hand and asking the question.
Well, I guess we'll see what the extent of this kind of stuff is. I got to believe that he was just doing his sort of exercising presidential constitutional powers, which gives him a lot of leeway over foreign affairs.
Well, really, of course, this was domestic spying.
I'll bet you that it's going to be stuff like domestic spying on people from Iran.
Right. It could have been. And yeah. I don't doubt that. One of the things that in times of war, the first fatality is truth. And the one thing that we have seen in every single war from the civil, at least that I know from the, well, from the Revolutionary War on up, but since we've been a country in the Civil War, and on up, is the freedoms go out the window, and the Constitution basically goes out the window. I mean, Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus illegally during the Civil War, and in fact was overturned after the Civil War. Supreme Court came through and said, you can't do that. Well, it was done.
Right.
And, you know, the internment of the Japanese in the Second World War was done. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
It was illegal.
Well, this kind of stuff, I mean,
the problem that I see, let me interrupt here for a second.
Sure.
The problem that I see is that they have said that this war is going to go on forever.
Right.
And now it's one thing if you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. If you say, well, we're going to be in this war for 2 years, and during those 2 years, we're going to violate the crap out of the Constitution.
Right.
But at the end of that time, you know, if you sort of understand that you're going to get your rights back. But this one.
That's why the Patriot Act provisions are expiring.
That's exactly right. And, of course, one of the catching points on this was that a lot of what they want to do on these 25 provisions was not to merely extend them, but to make them permanent. That was the problem. That's why they're filibustering. And on both sides, I mean, on both sides of the aisle, the people were saying, wait a minute, hold on a second. We made these expire for a reason, and now you want to cast them in stone. We got a problem here. Because as we all know, there's nothing so permanent as a temporary congressional authorization. And that's Roman concrete, you know, Appian Way, be right. Here 2,000 years, you
right.
know.
I hope they get out of Iraq. At least they had the vote last week.
Oh, that's right. And what I do find, I'm looking here at this, just for our listeners' purposes, I had to go to a wedding. And so I wasn't here for Friday and Saturday, whatever isn't here today, Sunday. So I'm catching up on the newspaper, and I'm looking through the newspaper, and there is zero on the vote. Zero. Nothing. In spite of the fact that by any standards, it's historic. If 70 or 80 or 90% of the – if we had 78 or 90% turnout in the elections in this country, they would think someone was wrong with the machines. They would say, okay, it doesn't happen. You know, Diebold has once again made a mistake because
Diebold.
They're having a big thing about the Diebold, you know, no track record They figure the guy that's running Diebold is fixing the machines ahead of time before they go in so that George Bush will win. That's kind of, you know. But the, you know, conspiracy theory, you know, why use Occam's razor when you can use some convoluted conspiracy theory to explain, you know, what you think might be happening in the ether? I don't know. So anyway, yeah, the
but yeah, they turned out 80%.
80%.
Amazing.
And, you know, but as you...
With bombs going off.
Bombs going off. That's right. Well, of course, the headline. I thought it was interesting.
I mean, if you told somebody there was a sniper.
I'd like to place my vote, please.
Yeah.
If you announced in America that there was one sniper in one city somewhere.
We had it. We had it. Remember the snipers in Washington,
D.C.? Well, I mean, on vote day is what I mean. On vote day.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The vote turnout today was one. Right. It was the pollster. The people who were monitoring the polls, the one guy who actually showed up, he voted.
Yeah.
And, you know, but because he lives there.
It was in his, he was the pastor of the church.
That's right. He was pastor of the church, came downstairs and voted. Yeah, no sniper for him. That's right.
Yeah, and nobody would turn out. So you got to hand it to the brave.
Well, the headline was two Americans killed, and that was the big headline.
Yeah, that's
two
pretty good, man.
38 million people in Iraq, you know, and 30 million, well, not 38, but you know, 15, 20 million voted, and the headline was two Americans killed. And I don't get me wrong, but I mean, they're all walking around purple fingers. But as you pointed out, they're voting on a constitution. Okay, we understand.
Well, now this time they're voting on the parliament.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. And the parliament will put together the constitution.
The next constitution, right? The new,
that's right.
The new permanent constitution.
So we don't have a clue. And of course, we don't know who's going to be in for a couple of weeks because a lot of these ballots are paper ballots from in the hinterlands, from Goatland or whatever it is.
Yeah, this is stone ballots. And
yeah,
stuff.
Right. Exactly.
Count the stones.
That's right. That's right. Count the marbles, black marbles and white marbles.
Right. Exactly. And so it's going to be interesting to see what this parliament does. People should not be too enthused that they just have a parliament. The Constitution is the real,
as we have seen, you know, Adolf Hitler was elected democratically, as was Chavez or whatever, Hugo down in Argentina, mm-hmm. you know, elected. And even as you remember, I don't know about democratically, but Saddam Hussein in Iraq was elected with 101% of the available vote. 101% of the available voters voted for him.
Yeah, he was the only guy on the ballot.
Doesn't matter. What I'm saying is 101% of the population of Iraq went and voted for him. So, you know, even it wasn't like anybody stayed home that I know of.
Well, they probably just marked yes on all everything, turned it in.
Well, I know. Well, let me put it this way: the people that stayed home are still there. They're buried in concrete underneath the. They're still there.
Yeah, well, but they did have a vote in Iraq back in 1918 when Iraq was put together.
By the Brits.
Exactly.
And they did. I didn't know. So they voted for Sheikh Ahmad.
They voted for
before they really knew there was how much oil there was, of course. There were oil exploration. Don't get me wrong. There was oil exploration going on. They knew there was some there. It was bubbling up through the sands. 1918, of course, was just at the beginning of the big oil boom, real oil boom, because the Model T Ford in 1915 had become the most popular car ever, who knows what. But they didn't have the same way to get the oil over here back then.
Right. So,
but they knew it was important.
Yeah. And they had a vote. You know,
who voted, you know? I mean, let's face it. This was Lawrence of Arabia. This was Lawrence of Arabia time, for God's sakes. Camels voted in those days. I don't, you know, I mean, really, you think about it. There were certainly more camels than there were people.
Yeah.
And, you think about it. It was, okay, but they did. You're right. So to dovetail on what you just said, they did have a quote, democratic vote. And they voted in, you know, Sheikh Ahmad, whoever it was, whatever.
A couple military coups in between.
Yeah, that of course that'll put a dent in things. We've seen that happen before.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see what this parliament does in terms of.
And they may come up with a theocracy.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of is that.
Why are you afraid of it?
Well, I'm not.
I'm not afraid of it at all.
Well,
only
I'm not,
because I'm only afraid of it because of what the United States would do.
Well, and also the detriment we reap from having gone in there and failed at our nation-building attempt.
Well, theocracy is a nation, you know. I mean,
well, I
and
agree.
And we see what we are seeing that what happened with theocracy in Iran. Of course, we're waiting for that, Adam. Waiting for that A bomb to drop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, here's
another
a
couple
guy,
of weeks. We'll have. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a situation where if we actually, it might be better if they do form a theocracy in something that's anti-America, so that we don't try to go into Iran and Syria and North Korea and wherever else.
Again, it's fascinating to me that the founding father of this country and everybody that had any brain since then has said, don't monkey with other people's business. They're sovereign countries, for God's sakes. You don't do that. It's happened historically across the board, starting the Monroe Doctrine, you know, don't come in the Western Hemisphere. Who the hell, you know, give me a break. Shut up.
I mean, for the amount of money you spent on the Iraq War, we could have lined the entire coast of the U.S. with aircraft carriers.
Well, that's not all. I mean, well, of course, here in Gainesville, they've had the last week has been We Love Cycling Week, you know, as if the 83-year-old lady is going to go down to cycle in the middle of the summertime when it's 100 degrees and 100% humidity and cycle on down to Publix and buy her groceries and cycle home, you know. Good luck. Or even walk. People don't walk out the door here in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking this is such a great thing to have, you know, the environment. So we're going to conserve on gas. We don't want to drill for any more oil. And let's put up a windmill. And that way we'll provide all our energy. And there was an interesting article along those lines that said they were, one of the guys here locally was upset because the Department of Energy guy in Washington, D.C. said, well, the solution to the winter heating oil shortage or whatever it is this year is to conserve energy. Conserve, you know, get a sweater or whatever it is. And they were saying, well, you know, and this guy was saying here, well, what about the thousands and thousands of all the people up north that are going to freeze to death? And I'm thinking, where are you? What country are you from? You know, nobody's going to freeze. You know, three people are maybe going to freeze.
Right.
Like 390-year-olds.
Yeah. You know. And it's their own damn fault, probably. Right. I mean, it's just the point is that, and that'll make the headlines. And then they'll want to give free oil to everybody. You know,
is this related to the last point we were making because of
this is about Iraq and oil.
Dumb government decision? Oh, yeah. Iraq and oil?
Yeah, Iraq and oil. That's right. Iraq and oil. Rack it up.
Iraq and oil.
Yeah, Iraq and oil. I reckon it's oil. I reckon it's oil. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Anyway, the bottom line is that they don't trust the market. And if they do set up this theocracy thing or whatever it is, you can bet that somebody in the State Department, they're going to monkey around. The CIA will be in there again and it'll monkey up things. And every time you turn around, you help Saddam on this side and he turns against you. Hell, we were on Osama's side during the Russian incursion. And now, when will they learn? You don't
train in troops. You know, I think it's interesting that when you hear, if you just played the news clip that said the Americans have trained X number of Iraqi brigades, and then you juxtapose that with the Americans have just destroyed X number of Iraqi brigades, you know, from the first war or the second war.
Right.
It's almost like, okay.
You got to create more people to kill.
Yeah. That's right. You got to train more targets.
Right, that's right. Know? Take away all their condoms. No, that's over there, degrees. Not here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's over there, not here.
Well, it's going to be somewhere.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it for the news summary, I think. And do you got any light notes, anything you want to add to this thing? We're about done here for a shortage, for more or less a semi-short thing. I don't have anything of any pressing import.
Let's see. Light notes, huh?
I did have...
Heavy notes?
I think
heavy notes. Medium?
Yeah, medium. Rare? Pittsburgh style. I don't know. Graduation, you know. Road building. Potholes.
Yeah. Okay, I got one light note here.
Okay.
New York City, the transit strike.
Oh, did it come off?
No, they postponed it for a little while longer.
Well, now, of course, it is illegal for them to strike.
Right.
It is totally illegal. I mean, it reminds me a little bit
Watch this.
Yeah. And of course, it'll be a major tie-up. I did, as you well know, the air traffic controllers in 1980 struck, and Reagan fired them all.
Right.
And it was amazing to see how people got pissed off. But it all worked out just fine, you know. And they, a lot of them couldn't come back. You know, he gave them. He said, look, if you come back in 2 weeks, we'll, you know, do. And some of them did and some of them didn't. But there was not any great rain of airplanes coming out of the sky. You know, it wasn't like there were engines and shrapnel laying all over. I mean, it wasn't like we had Lockerbies all over the United States, you know.
Well, my favorite part about this story is that the price of mannequins has gone through the ceiling.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, Bloomberg said, I think he said that they are actually passing on that you have to have four in a car to come
right,
in. Not two.
So you got to buy three mannequins.
You have to buy three to come into New. No, because you know they have the down here in Florida. They have the Hove lanes. You have to have two people.
Right. These are the high occupancy vehicles.
Yeah, high occupancy right. vehicles.
Well, but all the bridges are going to be HOV if the transport shuts down.
Right. So the mannequins got a little pricey.
Yeah. I love it. Now, this is, boy, I'll tell you, you know, that is, I love that idea. That is great.
You give me three cheek ones.
Yeah. Well, what you want is some hideous looking mannequins so that people won't stare.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, except the hideous ones, sometimes they do stare. You got to be careful about how hideous you make them. You know, it can't be Halloween ogre types.
In a related story, you can buy Jimmy, Curtis, and Eric mannequins from us.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. We'll have to put that link on our website.
Yeah, I wish.
That's right. And you can have us ride with you in the car to New York. And
we will give you mannequins for the right price.
Well, the only... That's right. Well, I wanted... we're blow-up dolls. Let me tell you where we're putting that little blow-up thing.
For
anybody's concern, the area where the blow up, where your lips go to blow this up, is on the shoulder. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. No, up the nose or whatever. I don't know.
Up the nose.
That's it.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
No, that's good enough. That's good. We can end up on that one.
All right. And, we will be back soon.
Yeah, we'll be back soon.
So send
us emails at jimmy@jimmydone.com. And oh, by the way, iTunes now allows you to write a review in case you want to give us that one or two.
Yeah. We always love good reviews.
Yeah, good reviews. Unfortunately, we can't erase the bad ones.
That's
too bad. Well, we'll probably have a special Christmas show.
Okay.
More than likely. That's now Christmas is a week from today.
Right.
And so we'll probably have a special Christmas show. Don't hold your breath.
Happy holidays. Oh, can't say that.
No, hell no.
Because then you get stabbed by the religious.
Well, an elf dies.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's an elf dies every time you say happy holidays. You have to say Merry Christmas. That's right. An elf dies every time you say HH.
We ripped that off from Chip and PC, but
that's okay. Well,
we're shameless.
Yeah, we're shameless.
This is anybody except Steve Allen. You're ripping me off.
That's it.
Hi, Christy. What you can do, Christy?
Oh God.
Hey.
That's close. That's good.
It's getting there.
You're getting there. We love it.
All right, guys.
All right. See you later. Thank you. Bye bye.